Today I'll be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 30.
I said Luke.
Now let there be man in Jerusalem called Samuel, who was righteous to devote. I didn't practice this, people. He was waiting to be can. Wow, I'm surprised.
Go sit down. We'll do it again next time.
Okay.
Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phetuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. That's what we know about that event in the temple. 40 days after Jesus was born, there was a law in the book of Leviticus that said at that particular time, sacrifices would be made. And this, the mother, it would be for her cleansing and for the family's beginning and for the child. If you could afford it, a lamb would be brought. If you couldn't, a turtle dove, two turtle doves. If you couldn't afford that, there was even a smaller gift that could be made. But the importance of this whole meeting, this whole sacrifice, this whole thing was to say that we're a covenant part of the people of God and we're going to do things God's way. Of course, this day was especially important because the one who was being brought was Jesus, the Son of God. And this extra drama that took place around him was there to help everyone's setting the stage for the great revelation that was about to be made. Let's imagine for a little while that we have devised a way to travel through time. And we, all of us, could get in our time machine and we could go back to some particular important event in the past. Unfortunately, we can't pick the day we go, It'll be picked for us, and we find out we're going to be in the temple, in the big court of the Jews, and we're going to be there the day that Jesus is brought. And that's not the day we would have picked. We would have rather been there at his crucifixion or his resurrection or the Sermon on the Mount or something out on the Sea of Galilee. But to just be there and get a glimpse of anybody would be really important to us. Just as we get in and trying to be observant and not the center of attention, we see a lot going on in the middle of the crowd. We see an old man holding up a baby, and it's obvious he's praying. We see astonishment on the faces of the child's parents, and we see people coming from every direction to hear what was being said. We don't hear what he said, but we know something is important. When he hands the baby back to the mother, he keeps talking and he keeps touching that baby. And then before they can get away, an old lady shows up and she starts talking to everyone that she can find. We know something important has happened. If we'd read the scripture, we would know what we were witnessing and we would be filled with awe as well. Fortunately for us, this old man is coming our direction and we're going to get to talk to him for a second. Remember, we're pretending now. So imagine that we're there and Simeon has just approached us. We know he's a righteous man. We know he's devout. We know he's always looking. And we're here to hear his story. My name is Simeon. I'm an Israelite, part of the covenant people of God. And I'm looking for the Savior. He's called many things in the scripture. He's called the Messiah. He's called the King. He's called the Son of David. He's called the Lord. And he's called a Savior. I've prayed about it all my life. I've studied the scriptures and look for the promises. I've memorized those promises. Those promises that would tell me what to look for and where to go. I've reasoned about it. And like the prophets of old, I wondered, how could God do this great thing? And who would he use to do it? And when would it happen? I prayed and I begged that this promise be kept. Because we certainly need a Savior. We certainly need a King. We certainly need something from God. We certainly need the consolation of Israel. And so I begged for it. And then, wonder of wonders, the Holy Spirit came upon me. There'd been lots of conversation recently, rumors and talk. Zechariah the priest saw an angel about a year and 3 months ago. He saw an angel. And there's a lot of talk about that. There's also a rumor about a young girl that also had a visit from the same angel. Zechariah, most people believed. The young girl, they didn't. But they'd still talk. And I kept praying. The Holy Spirit not only came on me, he told me some things, inspired me. I'm not bragging because I shouldn't even. I mean, why would he pick me? But he did. And he made a promise to me. He promised me that I, not just the people of Israel, not someday. He promised me that he was coming and it wasn't going to be long. I said, how long? He said, you will live to see it. That was kind of like two promises. One was the promise that no one was going to hurt me or kill me until it happens. And I knew God did things like that. He told that Ethiopian that saved Jeremiah, no one will kill you. And this terrible thing that Babylon did to our people, and so many thousand people died, he had a mark on him that said, he's mine, leave him alone. And I was so humbled that God would make a promise like that to me. But I was more excited about the promise that he made. He promised me I would see the Lord, the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. And so I prayed even harder. I prayed a phrase that I never thought I would say. Lord, come quickly. I couldn't wait. I was so excited. More excited than I was as a child when we'd be getting ready for the Feast of the Booths. That was so much fun, and we camped out and all, and I would just count the days. But more excited than that, more excited than I've ever been about anything, more excited than before my wedding, more excited than anything, because I had a promise from God, from the Holy Spirit himself, telling me I would live to see. And today, he said, go to the temple. I was going anyway, but I went straight there. I saw them coming in, all sorts of people, some leading sacrifices, some looking around. Some people were there with this and that. I saw this young, not so young, but a poor family, man older than woman, and a baby. And they had a couple of doves in a little makeshift cage. And I knew right off they were poor. And I knew what they were here for. And the Holy Spirit says, that's him. I could hardly breathe. I got over there, and they could see by the intensity as I was looking. And she lifted up the little blanket that was covering him up so I could look. And I took the baby. And I held the baby up. And I prayed. I prayed a great prayer of thanksgiving that I got to live long enough to see this great thing. I thank God for it. Not just for the gift that he gave to me, but for what this child would mean to all of us. I said, Lord, let me go now. My life is complete. I'm happy. Your word was fulfilled. And I've seen it with my own eyes. Salvation. It's interesting, isn't it, how God does things? You would never think a baby would be that, but he is and was. Happening here, this wonderful promise that was given to us. And he was being exposed to all of the people as we're coming into the temple for that very thing to happen. I prayed that he was a light of revelation to all the people. That when we look at this child, we are looking at the face of God. And when we look at this child, all the promises that God had made are going to be fulfilled in that way. I shouldn't have been surprised, because God often uses small things to do great things. He uses donkeys' jawbones. He uses shepherd's staffs. He uses a pot of oil and a little bit of meal. He uses small people to do big jobs. He uses shepherd boys to kill giants. And today, he has made his appearance in the temple as a child, a baby. This revelation will be to everyone because in my careful studies and from what the Holy Spirit has told me, God's plan is for all men. He promised Abraham that through this very child, this very one, all the people of the world will be blessed. And I'm so excited to be a part of that. And the people of Israel would be glorified forever because they played a role. We played a role in the very bringing of God to this earth. And he let us be the people through whom this blessing could come. His parents were really amazed, and it tickled me. Angels have been talking to these people. She has met the Holy Spirit. He is the one who made it possible for her, a virgin, to have this baby, and yet they're amazed at what I'm saying. You see, you never, ever get used to God. You never, ever get used to his ways or his wonders. Who would have ever guessed that God would come in such a small package? Who would have guessed it? They're new and wonderful every time we meet him. They're new and wonderful every time we hear. Every time we understand the scripture, every time we see the work of God, every time we see the face of Christ, we are amazed and full of wonder. I told her this child, I reluctantly gave him back to her. This child is set for the fall and the rising of many people in Israel. And this child will be a sign from God. If you've seen him, you've seen God. And not everyone will like that because not everyone loves God. But this child will also be the one that not only opens the way to God, but opens our heart. Because when we know him, everything in our heart and soul is opened up and laid bare for all to see. Because what all will see is not our sins, but the righteousness and the grace of God who makes us into his people. Everything will be made open. And that's when Anna showed up, of course. Anna has been living in the temple for decades, and all she does is pray and fast and talk to people about God. Everyone knows her. She's really old. She's been living here a long time, and she's been waiting and watching. We've talked about it before. You're still waiting, I would say. And she said, are you still looking? And we would laugh because we knew how blessed we were to be in a place and a time and have the significant, even though it's a small thing, opportunity to be part of this testimony. We know that we need to look no farther. The family has gone on to see the priest and make the sacrifice. And I doubt he'll be as impressed as I was with this child. What? Am I ready to die now? I'll stay as long as he wants me to. But what could possibly happen in my life that would be bigger than what has just happened? If he has something for me to do, I'll be glad to do it. But I've seen Christ, and I've held the Son of God. Let me ask you a question, strangers. What are you looking for? What are you searching for? What have you been praying about? Are you even looking? And he walks away. Well, there, my fellow time travelers, we have seen some amazing things today and heard some great things. We met an interesting fella. And we learned that the promises of God are always kept, even the impossible ones. And we know that the door was opened by Christ so that we could find our way to God. And we know if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. And we know that he made new promises to us, that he's coming back. And when he does, everyone will see him. And some will be delighted, and some will be horrified. But all of them would say what this man said that day. He's the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God. What we need to do is make sure that we are as honest and as dedicated and as devout and as obedient as Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph and those others who believed what they saw and looked for his return, because he is coming back. If you need to come to Christ, this is the time. Won't you come while we stand and sing?